This message is the property of H. David Edwards and Elam Bible Institute, and presented free of charge for private use only. Permission to use this message publicly may be requested by contacting Elam Bible Institute at 7245 College Street, Lima, New York, 14485.
Good morning, and thank you. I couldn't help but notice that while Bill thought he was singing a solo, there were lots of you who were joining with him. There was a masterful demonstration of lip sync, if I've ever seen one. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall he not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That excite you? The possibility that before this service comes to an end, God will have some surprises for us. Let me read two of these verses, as much for my sake as for yours. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's obvious from a very superficial reading of the book of the prophet Isaiah that its 66 chapters fall into three divisions. A major division from 1 to 35, consisting of judgment. And then some four chapters of history. And then the last section of 27 chapters consisting of comfort. A major section initially of condemnation. And then a kind of interlude of history. And then these concluding chapters of consolation. I think there are some significant principles and some major lessons to be learned from this book. One is that God never allows his people to become as bad as they would become if it were not for his intervention. God puts restraints upon his people and upon all people. He never allows them to become as bad as they might become if it were not for his intervention. He intervenes in a variety of ways. He intervenes in judgment. He intervenes in reproof. He intervenes in rebuke. He intervenes in comfort. He intervenes in solace. He intervenes in warning. He intervenes in exhortation. And when he does intervene, he calls for our response. He never allows us to become as bad as we might become if it were not for his grace. He intervenes sometimes to cut us off or to cut off those who are found in evil ways. Sometimes to bring confusion so that our wickedness never becomes as fruitful or as widespread as it would otherwise be. Sometimes in warning, in reproof, in rebuke, in exhortation, in solace, in invitation, always an invitation, he calls for our response. In order to prepare my own heart, I read these 27 chapters. And what a blessing. I wish we could do that this morning. And when I had read these 27 chapters, I was left with a deep impression of what a mighty God we serve. The wonder of his grace just filled my heart again at the recognition that when his people were as wayward as they obviously were, at the time when the prophet was ministering, God nevertheless drew near to them in his grace. And I couldn't help but recognize, as I was reading these 27 chapters, how familiar many of the portions were because we sing them. I want to draw your attention to some of these parts of Isaiah that we sing, and I'm a little bit hesitant to do it because I have an idea that it could well be like striking a match over a pool of gasoline. You know what would happen? Talk about a new thing. I'm a little bit hesitant to draw your attention to some of these passages, lest you should be provoked into singing. But if you feel that way, go right ahead. I might even join you. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Amen. Speak ye tenderly to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That doesn't mean that she'd got twice what she deserved. What it means is she has received of the Lord's hand the double for all her sins. Because apparently it was the custom that when a man's bill was paid and receipted so that his debts were canceled, the bill was folded and it was doubled and nailed to the door of the place of his business. And God is saying, you've had the double. Your bill has been paid. Your debts have been canceled. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Can't you hear that? I mean, over and beyond my reading of it, can't you hear the music? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Oh my goodness, I wish I could sing like a choir and play like an orchestra all on my own. I'd have a ball. Every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Eh? Get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He that is so impoverished, I'm reading now from verse 20, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that shall not be moved. Have he not known? Have he not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain and spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in, who bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And I'm reminded of what Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in his derision. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 10 of the next chapter. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Chapter 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice in truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set justice in the earth, and the coasts shall wait for his law. Chapter 43. But now saith the Lord, who created thee, O Jacob, and he who formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Chapter 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, who will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, like willows by the watercourses. Chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, 100 years before he was born, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Are you thinking that God has cut you off? That's what the prophet is saying. Are you thinking that I have forsaken you, abandoned you, and forgotten my promises? Do you suppose that I am no longer interested in you because you were knowing my judgment? Which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink, because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear like the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Chapter 51 and verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Didn't we sing that? And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. In the next chapter, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In chapter 54, sing, O barren, thou who didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou who didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the nations, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. In verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. I wish I could read the whole of the next chapter. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. In verse 16, he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as with a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto those who turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him who waiteth for him. Can you understand the excitement and the wonder that I felt as I read these 27 chapters? And I haven't made any reference to chapter 53, I beg your pardon, which falls exactly in the middle of those 27 chapters, 13 before and 13 after. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And we recognize that the prophet is speaking of him who this morning is our Lord and our Savior. And by him we draw near to God. Behold, I will do a new thing. Although Isaiah is a prophet, he's what Brother John Little would call a visual person, because when he has something significant to say, he doesn't say, listen to what I'm going to tell you. He says, behold. He says, look, Isaiah is a seer. More than 100 times in the book of Isaiah does the word behold occur. Behold. Look. Now, when God says, behold, you'd better behold. And when God says, behold, he's surely not drawing your attention to something that's ordinary. After all, if when you go out from here this morning, it's snowing, that won't surprise you one little bit. You're not likely to say, behold. You might well say, look, it's snowing. If you're here on July the 4th and it snows like this, you might be likely to say, behold. If you go out from here this morning and you see a snowman, you'll probably say, oh, look, a snowman. But if you go out from here this morning and see the abominable snowman, then you will say, behold, the Yeti. When God says, behold, it is to draw your attention to something which is extraordinary. I can't draw your attention this morning to all the things about which Isaiah is excited and about which God says, behold. But let me draw your attention to a few of them. In chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's not an everyday occurrence. God says about it, behold, in chapter 8 and verse 18, behold, the prophet says, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. And this in the book of Hebrews is made to refer to our Lord Jesus. And this morning our Lord up there is saying, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me, they are for signs and wonders. You know, God wonders about you this morning. Chapter 13. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Chapter 28. Verse 16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not fuss. Chapter 35. Say to those who are of a fearful heart. We heard something this morning about some whose hearts are disquieted, whose hearts are troubled, say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, not against you, but against those who would oppress you. Your God will come with vengeance, and my daddy's bigger than your daddy. You ever say that? Okay. Your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Chapter 40. Verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. Verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. They don't count for very much. Verse chapter 41, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. Verse 15, behold, I will make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument having teeth. Previously he has spoken about him and his people as a worm. Ever met a worm with teeth? But God says he's going to give the worm teeth. When the worm turns, if he's got teeth, you'd better run. Verse 42, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Chapter 49 and verse 17. Verse 16. Behold, I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. In the verse before, he says, can a mother forget her children? Yes, a mother might forget her children, but I'll never forget you. Your names are written here. And when I look at my hands, I see your names engraven on the palms of my hands. God says, what do you think about that? Behold. Chapter 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted. And we sang about him being exalted this morning. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Chapter 55. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. Chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. In chapter 65, verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Behold, God says, I will do a new thing. 10 times in these 27 chapters, the word new occurs. Doesn't occur at all in the early part of the book. But 10 times in those 27 chapters, God speaks about doing something new. Something not a novelty. Our tendency is to covet that which is novel. But it is not the entertainment of novelty that God is speaking about when he says, I will do a new thing. He is talking about his eternal creativity. Isaiah was a seer. I don't think he ever got over what happened for him in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And you need to underline that little word of four letters in your Bible if you're using the King James. If you're using a New International Version, just insert the word also, because it doesn't appear there. Because what matters in your life and mine is whether or not we have an also. Everybody else knew that King Hezekiah had died, but Isaiah was the only one who had an also to the experience. And Isaiah never forgot it. No matter what was happening, whether it was the sin of God's people or the judgment that God brought upon them because of the sin of his people, Isaiah always had an also. Beyond the circumstances and beyond the sin and beyond the judgment, Isaiah had an also. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I hope you've got an also in your life this morning. If you haven't, ask God to give you one, will you? Because the also is never going to change. Uzziah might or might not die, and his successor might or might not die, but the point is that the Lord sitteth king upon the floods. He reigneth forever. God sees too. God is not divorced from the sin of his people. He's not absent. He's not an absentee landlord. He hasn't cut himself off. He is with us when we sin. He is with us in the judgment that he brings upon us to restrain us from our sin. And he is with us in the hardship of the oppressor, whom he allows to be the instrument of his judgment. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. It was during the time of the Civil War that one of your poets wrote a long poem called For the Present Crisis. And in that he wrote these lines: truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. That's what Isaiah had. He saw beyond the affliction, beyond the captivity, beyond the exile, beyond the sin of his people, beyond the possible extermination of the children of Israel, and the abandonment of God's promises and the frustration of God's purpose. He saw beyond that because he had an also. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So he was never finally dismayed because of the sin of God's people. Are you sometimes discouraged by the fact that we learn somewhat insidiously by the grapevine of the failures of some of God's servants? You sometimes discouraged by that? You sometimes wonder what the church is coming to? Isaiah, because of his also, was never finally dismayed because of the sin of God's people. He was never ultimately discouraged because of the hardships occasioned by God's judgment, because seared on his eyes was that vision that he had at the commencement of his ministry, the also that gave him confidence. You see, when Uzziah died, the throne down here was vacated. But Isaiah had a vision of a throne that is never empty. God here says, remember not the former things. That's odd, isn't it? At least I think it's odd. I mean, he gave us one whole book where the emphasis is, remember the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, don't forget. And yet here he says, forget it. Remember not the former things. We suffer from an urge to domesticate God. We want to make him our pet. We want to know exactly what it is that he's going to do. We know how he's going to do it. And so we prescribe limitations for him. And when we do that, you're left only with the box and God has escaped. Because it isn't possible that we should so confine him. And so he says, don't put restrictions around the way in which I'm going to intervene. Remember not the former things. I delivered you in this way, and I delivered you in that way. Don't you suppose that I can find another way in which to deliver you? Behold, I will do a new thing. Don't lock God into the pattern of his past deliverances. He's got some surprises up his sleeve. 10 times he says, I will do a new thing. There are some things that surprise me about the way that God acts. I'm surprised by his messengers. I can understand him using a dove, can't you? And he has used a dove as his messenger. But then he used a vulture. Who's going to be your waiter when you go home for brunch? How would you like if it was a vulture that sat on your chair with you? Or brought you your midday meal. But he not only used a dove, he used a vulture. He used a donkey. He says, if we listen attentively, he'll use a sparrow. He says, consider the sparrows. They'll teach you something about my providence. Consider the lilies of the field. He not only used Isaiah, who is obviously a poet, he used a grape picker. Was he a grape picker or an olive picker? Amos, he said, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. He used a hero like Jeremiah. He used a coward like Jonah. He used a murderer like the Apostle Paul. I believe that Paul's hands were probably still red with the blood of those that he had killed while thinking to do God's service. And God spoke to Ananias while the blood was still on Paul's hands. And he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me. I don't think Paul ever got over the surprise of being a messenger of God, because he says, unto me was this great grace given that I should publish among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm surprised by the messengers that he uses. I'm also surprised by the way he eavesdrops on my thoughts. I sometimes wish that he wouldn't. Sam Mabe told me, and I'm glad for Sam Mabe and the urgency that he's bringing to us about the need that we should pray. He told me that during the week of prayer, during his private devotions, he didn't ask God. He kind of half thought about it while he was praying, and he said, gee, wouldn't it be nice if I had a new pair of boots? That was about all. He didn't tell God he needed them. He just expressed a half-hidden desire. 11:30 that morning, someone came to him with a new pair of Western boots and said, I think God intends you to have these. I was flying into St. Louis about 8 or 9 years ago, and I just bought a new pair of glasses. I bought them from some outfit that I shouldn't have gone to, but I thought I was getting them cheaply. And I was using them on the plane, and I knew that they were slipping on the end of my nose, and I knew that the prescription was not correct. And as we were coming in to land at St. Louis, I just again kind of half said to myself, half to God, I sure would like to get these fixed. That was on the Saturday night, and on the Sunday evening, a man came to me and he said, I noticed you were having trouble. Your noses were slipping, your glasses were slipping in your nose. God's got some surprises. Your nose was slipping all over your face. No. he said, I noticed you were having some trouble. Why don't you come and see me tomorrow? So I said, why? He said, well, I'm an ophthalmologist. So I said, thank you. I was taken around to his office, and he fixed my spectacles. And when I was being driven back to the motel, I said, thank you, Lord. That was nice, but that was not exactly what I had in mind. I didn't want to get these just fixed. I wanted new glasses. And I was taken out for breakfast at an FGBMFI meeting on a Saturday morning. And I was called out of the breakfast. And in the hall, there was my ophthalmologist friend. And he gave me a new pair of glasses. And he said, here you are. The Lord told me to give you these. I'm sorry you had to wait for them. So I said, you didn't even test my eyes. He said, no, but when you've been in the business for as long as I have, you know what's needed. Yeah. He can read your thoughts afar off. Don't blush. I'm surprised at the messengers that he uses. I'm surprised at the message that they bring. Do you know what the fundamental message of heaven to earth is? The overall, the overriding, the essence of God's word to you and me for time and eternity is expressed in the message of the angels. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do you know what the heart of God towards you is? Do you have any question about it? Do you have any misgiving about it? You don't deserve it. I never asked that you should. If you wait until you deserved it, you'd never get anything. But the heart of God towards us this morning is good. I know the thoughts that I have concerning you, saith God. They are good and not evil. Good tidings of great joy, for unto us is born a Savior. I'm surprised at the people that he addresses. I wouldn't have had anything to do with me. I don't count for much with George Bush. Jack Kemp hasn't got my telephone number. My business doesn't affect the Dow Jones average. My TV watching doesn't even affect the Nielsen ratings. But I count in the only place where it matters. Because look what this same chapter says right here. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. What intention, what purpose, what motivated God in making you? Do you know what God said when he made you? He looked at you and he said, I'll never do that again. But that was not because in looking at you, he felt he had made a mistake. He put something unique in every one of us that doesn't belong to anybody else. That's what unique means. It belongs only to you. And you see what God said here? He said, I created you, I formed you, I made you. Three different words meaning very different things. I created you out of nothing when there was nothing there. I created you. But when I got something out of nothing, I processed it. I formed it. And I made it. That means when I finished with it, there was nothing more that needed to be done to it. It was perfected. And why did God do that? He did it for his glory. Hey, do you know God brags about you? He wants to show you off. Jewels in his crown, stars in the firmament. Would you get a glimpse of God this morning? Get an also in your life. Lift your vision a little bit above the sin that's dogged you. Lift your vision a little bit above the circumstances that have threatened you. The circumstances that God might have brought into your life to awaken you to a sense of your need of Him. Cry to Him and get an also in your life and turn Him loose to do what it is that He wants to do. Behold, I will do a new thing. Even now, God says, it's beginning. Amen.
Amen. Brother John, can we sing together hymn number 6, The God of Abraham Prays? So majestic and so powerful, He knows our need.